Hello, hello. Welcome one and all. New year, new place in the song to start our theme music. We thought we'd really switch it up on you guys this year. We'll probably be back to the normal stuff next episode. Not necessarily next week, next episode. But in the meantime, welcome to Game Over. Welcome to the first episode of 2019 of Game Over. I am, of course, your host, Simon Pazdor, joined by my faithful squad mate, Adam Pazdor. Matt Menye is actually in France. He heard a rumor that there was a place in France where the people wore no pants. And he's gone off to France to investigate this. So, of course, we wish him all the best, and hopefully he'll have a report for us soon. But we do have a smidgen of news, a metric smidgen, not an imperial smidgen. That would be too much. But the smidgen of news is this. The premier video game show hosted by two brothers and a third guy, not today, on Mondays only at 101.5 UMFM and UMFM.com, is doing a power hour to begin the year. We are doing a full hour of Game Over to get this started. But because Thanos told us that balance in all things, as or perfectly balanced as all things should be, we're taking next week off. We're giving the TV talkers a full hour. I have heard rumblings of what they're going to talk about. It should be a very enticing episode, so definitely listen to that one. But also, listen to this one happening right now. However, we've been gone since, what, like December 14th? Somewhere in there?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Almost a month. Yeah. What have you been playing last month? We have big news in that we've moved back to the location with all of our December 17th, yeah, with all of our games. So we can now play everything.
So I got a Steam gift card as a Christmas present.
Classic.
And so I bought three things. Not entirely, like, the Steam gift card did not cover all three things, but it helped. But I picked up three things that have been on my wishlist for a long time. So I'll sort of go over them in increasing order of playtime. Mm-hmm. So the first one was Enter the Gungeon, which I'd heard a lot about, and it's sort of it's got a roguelike element.
What do they call it? Bullet Hell? Is that the one?
Bullet Hell. That's the phrasing. Yeah, so you're running around, and you pick a character, and there's like four classes, and you run and jump through this dungeon. And
a gungeon?
Yes, a gungeon. And like, yeah, it's a bullet hell. Shooter. It reminds me a little of Binding of Isaac, only less depressing.
Hard not to be.
Yeah. So it was fun. It was really difficult. It was one I suspect I'll enjoy more if I'm playing it with another person, because it's designed clearly with co-op in mind. So you can get someone else in there to help you out, because it's just, I don't know, we played another game like it, Gauntlet, and it's like that, but only faster paced. So we should try that out at some point. But I haven't played too much of that. I think I'm actually still in my 2-week, 2-hour return window policy for that one.
Wow, that is really.
The second one I played was Cuphead, which was sort of, you know, one of the big games of last year that took me forever to get my hands on. And it is a lot of fun. It is great. It really is, like, it's super faithful to the old, you know, 50s art style, Max Fleischer, early Disney, that sort of thing. It's gorgeous. The music is fantastic. I normally, like, turn the sound off when I play video games and just listen to my own stuff. But this one, I was like, no, I'm listening to this whole thing. It was great. So I'm, like, about halfway through that game. I've run into a boss I just can't beat. This one is also technically co-op, and they've even woven it into the story. Like, there's technically two main characters, which sort of makes it weird that I've played this far by myself, because the story keeps acting as if there's another guy with me this whole time, even though he hasn't done anything. But it's pretty dark, as I guess also sort of faithful to old cartoons were. It's a lot of fun. It's very, very difficult, so it definitely lives up to that hype. But it's basically just a bunch of boss fights strung together by the connective story of you being a guy with a cup for a head who owes a gambling debt to the devil.
As you do.
So I've got a few hours in that. And then the one that I've logged the most time in is Hand of Fate 2. Now, I didn't play Hand of Fate 1, but I've been informed that once you play Hand of Fate 2, you don't really need to play Hand of Fate 1. It's like Left 4 Dead. It's the same game, only better. And it's a really neat mechanic. I'd never seen anything like it before. It sort of scratches my D&D itch a little, because it's almost like a deck builder, but not really. There's a board made up of cards that you travel around, and there are skill challenges you have to meet by doing either dice puzzles or there's a pendulum thing. And then occasionally when combat shows up, it actually turns into a little, you get a brief sort of Arkham Asylum little brawler. Mm-hmm. And it is really addicting. I bought it, I don't know, when we got back to the house and was fully settled, so like 4 days ago, and I've logged like 30 hours or something.
Jeez.
I'm almost at the end of the main story campaign, I think. But it is, yeah, it is just a load of fun to just to tackle it and to keep coming back to the challenge. And the narrator is just great. I think it makes the story might make a little more sense if you have played Hand of Fate 1, because it sounds like the bad guy in this game is the protagonist of the last one.
Oh, like Prototype.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, if that description of a combination of sort of card-based board game and occasional attempting to be Batman only with axes works for you, and you like sort of the medieval high fantasy setting, then I can't recommend it highly enough. It really suckered me in.
Interesting. I might try that whenever my computer's up and running. But in the meantime, I've been doing two things. So I've been trying to get the perfect 100% on Spider-Man PS4, but I think partly because I take long breaks from it. Not all the DLCs are coming out, and I heard the reviews for the first two DLCs that I heard were pretty much the reviews that I had myself, which was, it was okay.
Yeah.
And it really confirms that a lot of the stuff that we loved about that Spider-Man game was mechanical stuff. It was the swinging, it was the powers, it was the combat, it was the, you know, and you might have varying degrees of how much you enjoyed those individual things.
Yes.
And the story that they came up with was pretty darn great. But there seems to be, there's definitely a dip. I think even the most diehard fans would say there's a dip in quality from the regular story to the DLC. They're still good. And it's, you know, Yuri Lowenthal is still fantastic as Peter Parker. And all the voice cast that returns are still amazing. I think it's partly because Hammerhead is kind of the big baddie of this one. And he's just, to me, not a very
interesting villain.
Not a very interesting or inspiring villain. I mean, he's basically a mob boss, but that's sort of, I mean, we Spider-Man fights crime, okay? I've been fighting a lot of crimes. This is just very specific crime, and now everyone has a bad Italian accent, is talking in suits. And sometimes dealing with the Italian gangsters is very funny. And we're Italian ourselves, so we can laugh at ourselves, that's fine. So sometimes that's good, but it's just not, like, he's got such a wide variety of more different villains, and I think particularly with the way these things were phrased when they were originally announced, you have the whole thing is called the City That Never Sleeps, but they have individual names for them. But I think people were expecting one closed story,
yeah,
instead of like three long stories, and they both feel like a frustrating episode of a miniseries where they all, like, I haven't finished the third one yet. But they all end on epic cliffhangers so far.
Oh, dear.
It's like, ugh, you're going to do that and make me wait another month. And the exact same thing happened the second time. I'm like, ugh, you're going to do that and make me wait a whole month. And they brought back, it's been a while since you played Spider-Man, but one of the characters they brought back from the main game was Screwball. And Screwball has taken over the Taskmaster challenges.
Yeah.
And I think I speak for everyone when I say I hate Screwball so much. Like, the challenges give, they have a new quirk where you have to do stuff in a specific area to get bonus points, but it kind of revolves around, like, if you, and let me back up, some of them are kind of cool, okay? So some of them are just get a takedown on this particular area, which is just annoying. You're just ruining my fun. Some of them are, we're going to give you infinite gadgets, but only levitate and bomb or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's like you have to combine them in different ways, or bomb and concussive blast, which is where I discovered that you can web bomb like 19 guys and then concussive blast them all to the wall at the same time. That's very fun.
Nice.
Doing that kind of stuff is good. But her, I mean, it's Taskmaster, at least when you were doing it, it was like, yes, you could perform better. I know, like, if you got a B instead of an A or whatever it was. Whereas she just like, oh, come on, how many viewers need, it's like, please shut up. And I'm really hoping that at some point in this DLC you get to take her down for good.
Yeah.
And she doesn't appear in any of the sequels. Because bringing her back, in my mind, was a mistake. I probably could have used her being down after the second one. And Peter got visibly disappointed when he heard them. And I was, like, mirroring that. I'm like, ugh. Yeah. this is back. Yeah. And completing her things to completion is the only thing that's stopping me. And they do lock a couple of the suits down to finishing the DLC once. It also does something that's very strange that I'm not sure how I feel about it. And that is, it does a couple things very strange. So I don't know if you noticed, but when you're playing the game of the original Spider-Man PS4 game,
yeah,
each district had regular crimes. It had... I'm like Mr. Negative's people crimes, like negative crimes, it was
demons.
Called. Demon crimes. And then it had like Sable crimes.
Yeah.
It had those groups. And then when you finished them off, so if you went to a district and you finished all its normal crimes, those were done. You wouldn't find any more just regular break-ins. And then once you finished all the demon crimes, they were done. And then when you finished all the Sable crimes, they were done. And then once you had finished all of those, New York reset to just having regular crimes. Which is, I get why they do it, and at the time I was like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I could use a little something different sprinkled in. Because it does mean that the longer you play the game, the worse it gets. Because they're actually slowly taking away content.
Yeah.
Which is just really weird. I'm not totally sure how they would fix it, because in Spider-Man 2, I hated when the dude in the mech suit popped up, and I'm like, oh, here we go again. Now I got a long fight against you. But it is strange. And the DLC takes you to a separate version of New York. So once you do all the crimes, once you do all the screwball stuff, it's done. It's complete. It's like, there's nothing more to do here. And all the crimes and interactables and collectibles and stuff that happen in the DLC are not present in the main game. Because you're going to a new map, basically. Okay. So if you thought you might be fighting crime in between, no.
No.
All the things to do here are just with the DLC. And so it's weird to, like... I'm going to do this, and now it's done, I guess. I haven't really seen another open-world game do it like that, where it's like, we're just going to have different versions of the world. And I'm not...
Yeah.
Honestly, not even totally sure why they did it. I feel like they could have just swapped it on top. Yeah, there must be some reason that I'm missing, but...
Yeah, well, we're not game designers, so it's hard to say for sure. That is very strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Spider-Man, like... That one... It's kind of interesting, because both that one and God of War are like... I really, really enjoyed them at the time... And now, since I beat the story and put it down, and I kind of have no desire to go back.
Mm.
Like, I've just... And that's... I kind of find that happens a lot when there's a... When it's a story-driven game, like both of those are, mm-hmm. and you reach the end of the story, I'm like, okay, book shut, done, finished.
Yeah.
Don't need to do anymore.
It's weird that I've had that... This is why I think I was... A few months ago, I was kind of describing the difference between a game and a toy, or like a, you know, video game. Like, we don't have the... We don't have the graphic novel title instead of comic book.
Yeah.
But yeah, I adore The Last of Us, now The Last of Us Part 1. One of my favorite new YouTube channels, Girlfriend Reviews, please go watch and subscribe, it's fantastic. They just recently did The Last of Us, and it reminded me why I love that. I haven't played it twice. And it's just because once I did, I was like, I had it, I felt those feels, and it, like, but there's things, like I'm playing Fire Emblem again.
Yeah.
It's what I'm playing on my lunch break at work. I've played Awakening. Like, my girlfriend asked me, how many times have you played this? She was like, this is your second time? I'm like, second?
Like, 10.
At least 10.
Yeah.
Why? And it's, you know, it's kind of like chips. You know, it's just something that you could do just to distract you. It doesn't have these huge, sweeping emotions.
Well, I think the big difference between those is that with God of War and Spider-Man, as good as Yuri Lowenthal's performance is, the draw is the storyline. Whereas Fire Emblem's story is boring as hell... But the characters are fantastic.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't care that I know how this story ends, because it's how all Fire Emblem stories end. Bad guys lose, good guys win, there's cake. Like
Cake and dragons.
Yeah, there's cake and dragons. Like, that's all there is to Fire Emblem, but the characters and their interactions are so interesting.
Well, I think we're hoping that the next Fire Emblem, Three Houses, or I think that's what it's called. Yeah, Three Houses.
Yeah.
I think we're hoping that it is better, because I've hoped for more. Like, I have a higher standard for the console RPGs, but for the handheld ones,
true.
I'm like, just do what you can. Good try. Like, Fates, good try. I kind of enjoyed the story in Echoes, but I will disagree with you that I think I'll go back to both God of War and Spider-Man. I think they had enough mechanically strong that I'll go back to both of them, particularly when we get a PS4 now that we have a 4K TV.
We have a PS4.
PS4 Pro, sorry.
Oh.
Yeah, I tend to get a PS4 Pro. I don't know. I think it actually doesn't do 4K, but it might be do 2K or something. It's going to look great on the 4K TV is all I know. And I'm going to plug that in there, and I'm going to go ham on that. But I'll have to report more when I finish the DLC, I suppose.
Yeah.
In the meantime, We took a little vacation, and on that vacation, we went on a train.
We did.
And going on a train, A, is magical. If you have the opportunity to go on a train, take it. It's a lot of fun. But B, that's where you really feel the benefits of a Switch. The Nintendo Switch. I'm pretty
very
proud of that stuff,
brand.
Actually. Yeah, gotta be. Oh, and by the way, speaking of brand, before I start talking about the Nintendo Switch, we have merch now. I'm wearing the first official piece of Game Over merch. This is not planned to be something to be released. I don't see how anyone would want one, but on the off chance that you're just a diehard fan, you've been listening to us for years, feel free to shoot me a message and we'll try to figure something out. But I figured I'd float that out there because we got this shirt and it's really, really cool. And I don't really want to take it off ever.
That's
good. Just, I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, and you should be. It's great.
It's great. Yeah, it's awesome. And it does indeed fit. There was a slight word.
There was a slight concern.
Yes, because as we all know, stepping on the scale after you've gone on a vacation over Christmas is always a risky proposition.
Yeah.
You don't want to be doing that. Avoid scales at least until March, possibly June, I think is probably my best advice. Maybe in April you can get your summer body going or whatever. Just prepare to sweat.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was playing the Switch, and I had just downloaded on Black Friday, Valkyria Chronicles 4.
Yes.
And I played a smidge of it last time, and extremely similar to how you described Left 4 Dead, it's basically that. If you played Valkyria Chronicles 1, there were like 2 and 3 on the PSP that apparently sucked or just went in a weird, weird direction. And then 4 is like Valkyria Chronicles 1.5. Yeah. It's different, or there's new characters, and there's a new story. But I find that, and I can't even really point out why. But games that I like the characters, I'll listen to every piece of dialogue.
Yeah.
That's Fire Emblem Awakening, the difference between Fire Emblem Awakening and Fire Emblem Fates. I've read the Awakening support conversations, again, probably 10 times. I still read them.
Yep.
Fates, I press start immediately. You're only there for the bonuses.
Skip, don't care.
Exactly, I don't care. There's a staggering amount of characters in Valkyria Chronicles 4, and I care about every single one of them. And again, the story is kind of strange. It's basically like, what if we ended the war? This is a minor spoiler because it happens in like the first thing. What if we ended the war by going after the capital of the enemy? It's like, what? So it's like if Russia was invading Poland and Poland was like, because it used to play a similarly small country, we're just going to go take Moscow. There's no way that would work. Yeah. And the fact that it almost works for at least half the game, I've kind of gotten to some hiccups, is mind-boggling. Because there's no way the entire Red Army wouldn't just crush them.
Yeah.
I'm not super invested in the story. It's good enough to make me keep going.
Yeah.
But the characters are phenomenal. I'm really enjoying all the characters. I think they're well-written. There's been a couple controversies, which I won't even go into. But I am very much enjoying it. And it's doing something that I think more games need to do. It has these things called squad stories. So in any game, you're going to have your main cast of characters. And I'm trying to think, Fire Emblem is probably, honestly, the closest thing. So you have your main characters, right? In Fire Emblem, it's Crom, it's Robin, Lyssa, etc., right?
Yeah.
Those are the main characters. You're probably going to be bringing them on most of the missions. And then the other ones, you'll bring in whoever you like. It's very similar. You have main characters. They're even more emphasized in Valkyria Chronicles because if someone is promoted, you only get to promote one person. The other ones are picked for you, which is okay.
Yeah.
They give you an extra action, and you get actions per turn. So one character can use like 3 or 4 actions, but it takes away from the other ones. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
But if 10 characters, 10 actions, use them however you want.
Okay.
Now, so you do get to promote. But there are a ton of characters. I mean, probably like 50 or 60 total characters. And I'm thinking, how the heck am I supposed to be able to choose between all these characters? Who do I know that I like?
Yeah.
They have this thing called squad stories. So if you use a character enough, a little blip will come up. And it's written as if it's a book. It's very cute.
Yeah.
And the main stories are just chapters. And then you can flip to a different chapter in the book, which has the squad stories. And it's just a series of cinematics. By the way, this game is very cinematic heavy. So hope you're okay with that. It's like half anime, half game. So if you're okay with
JRPG.
That, if you're yeah, Matt actually bought it. So if you're okay with that dichotomy, like Matt and I are,
yeah.
You'll have a blast. If you're not okay with that, like you're not, you might not enjoy it. Play Metal Gear Solid 4, see how you feel about that.
And didn't then, like it very much.
Yeah, and that can be kind of your barometer for how much you might enjoy this. But what they do is they have squad stories with the other characters. So you get 3 characters seemingly at random, I know they're not literally random because they're predetermined, but they don't seem to have any necessary connection to them. And then something will happen. You'll have like an inciting incident. Those three will go off. They'll have a little battle for some reason, and then they'll return and kind of have resolution. And those characters will then have their traits changed.
Right.
So each character has individual traits. So like one girl might be, because she's like 35 and divorced, all of which is in her biography, by the way, 35 and divorced, she's done with men.
Right.
Which means if she's around a man, she'll gain lower accuracy from being disgusted. Stuff like
that. I love
it.
I love it.
But if you do her squad story, she might get over that, and then done with men will change to team mom. And then all of a sudden, she'll gain bonuses from being around other people that she likes.
Okay.
For example. And each character has, like, I think between 4 and 6 of these total. They have 4 of their own, and then their class gets 2 more, which are randomized in the classes. So not all your scouts will play the same. Not all your snipers will play the same. Not all of your heavies will play the same. There's such a wide variety.
Like XCOM.
Exactly. There's a huge variety of play styles. And I loved going through and being like, that's what your personality is. And so now I can actually bring the ones I like. Another twist that I found myself really enjoying is seeing the main characters from the eyes of the side characters. So you kind of start in, and again, very similar to pick really any RPG. You start in at the beginning, and then things kind of just keep ramping up. There's not a lot of downtime, similar to Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the times I'm like, when did you guys have the time to have this conversation?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, going from epic battle to epic battle here.
There was not really much of a lull.
Exactly.
I guess on the walk between epic battles.
Yeah, perhaps in the walk. But in this case, since they're all a squad in the military, the implication is that they had this at base probably before they set out.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, like, you'll be fighting in the snow or whatever, and then you go to a squad story, which is in the summer. So it's like, okay, I kind of have a general idea where the time period is.
Yeah.
And then you'll see these characters interact with the main characters. And all the characters are relatively young. Like, the main leader guy, who's your commander, is, like, early 20s,
yeah,
I think. And he is, through the course of the story, the main story, learning his way as a commander. And right. You get to see that. So you get to see him start off, they called him Scaredy Claude, all the way to going into being a well-respected commander. It's fun to see him through the eyes of the other characters, and then him pop in and do just commander-type things. Like, I know he's all the other things, and he's obsessed with the star and the skies, he likes being outside and stuff like that. It's fun to see him pop in and discipline somebody. It's like, yeah, that would be your job.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminded me, again, maybe Crom, maybe like Commander Shepard. I would like it if main characters, if you get to see, like, a blip, okay, here's how they look from the other ones.
Yeah.
Like, if you had to play a story of 3 Mass Effect Marines when they were on the Citadel, and they had to come back and just get reamed out by Shepard. I like to see the main character just doing their job.
Yeah.
They're not just the epic hero doing stuff that no one else could do. They got a day job. I found that really entertaining and actually really endearing. And so, particularly on the train and then kind of in the hotel too, I was just addicted to Valkyria Chronicles 4. I haven't played it in like 2 weeks because I'm at the point in the game where there's serious strategy involved in what's going on. And so I need to kind of step back, be like, okay, I got to devote like a solid half hour to this battle.
Yeah.
Or otherwise I'm going to get smoked. But I fully intend to go back and finish it. I bought all the DLC. Because I got the game 60% off on Switch, and I adored it, so I'm like, I must support you.
Yeah.
The DLC is hit or miss. Feel free to look up a review for it before. Like, one of them is you pay $5 to get a map, and then to get that, you just get a shock trooper from the previous game, from Valkyria Chronicles 1.
Yeah.
And you also get to team up with all the characters from the previous game, all the main characters from Valkyria Chronicles 1, but all but one voice actor is changed.
Oh.
So it's like, that's not what you sound like.
Yeah.
And it's also weird to hear other voice actors try to do an impression of a fully fledged character.
Yeah.
So it's like they were clearly just given notes. This is what this guy should talk like, but they hadn't actually gone through all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit jarring. And then there's the classic, it's a little bit tacky. Fire Emblem has it too, the beach DLC, where the main characters, 2 men, 2 girls, all get swimsuits through the course of the DLC, which you can wear. If you want to.
Okay.
That's in Fire Emblem 2. I'll let you cast whatever judgment you want. I'm just saying, it's there.
What's the phrase? Oh, Japan?
Yes. It's... the whole thing is... Like, it almost has... I saw an article, and I'm not going to go into my opinions on the article, but I did see an article that was like, does Valkyria Chronicles 4 work in, at the time, 2018?
Yeah.
And I think it does, because I, you know, I see like the overarching thing, but it has a lot of tropes that I probably were okay 10, 15 years ago, even when the first game came out in like the late 2000s. And now it's a little bit cringeworthy. Like at one point, the main character who's working on his tank wheels out, and then he all of a sudden finds himself below the skirt of one of the other main characters and ends up getting kicked in the face for looking up. And he's like, no, I wasn't. And it's like, I kind of expected that, see that in like Home Improvement.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
Yeah, something like that.
I wasn't expecting to see that out of a game that came out this recent, but whatever. You can have your opinions on that if you want. The actual gameplay and the actual characters, I thought, are pretty darn well done. All right, so we might just take a minute here, since we are doing a full power hour. We've caught you up with what we're playing. We are still also playing in between wherever we can, really. We're playing Super Smash Bros. My review currently, it's still fun.
That's good.
But there was actually a leak. I mean, we should learn not to trust Smash Bros. Leaks. There was a leak of the four remaining DLC characters, which I might get your opinion on. So we're going to play a commercial and then a spoiler warning for like the next 3 minutes about that. And then we're going to go off. We're going to go in order of release date, 30 of the major game releases for 2019 and give our opinions on them.
Sounds good.
So we're going to be back in just about a minute here. We got to play some commercials. See you guys in a second. If you were expecting to hear TV Talkers, actually, we were in a couple of minutes early for TV Talkers, but if you were expecting to hear them, I have a bit of bad news for you. The next episode of TV Talkers, the first episode of TV Talkers of 2019, will be delayed until next week, but they are getting a full hour, so if you love your TV Talkers, you can get a double fill next week. But in the meantime, you're, of course, getting your double fill of Game Over, the premier video game show hosted by two brothers and nobody else, only on Mondays at 101.5 UMFM and UMFM.com. Now, before the break, we were going to talk about the potential DLC for Super Smash Bros., but I don't know if you've been following it at all. Probably not, because I know you're not a big leak person.
No.
But there was a huge Super Smash Bros. Leak called, I think, the Grinch leak, about a month before the game came out, and it turned out to be totally false. But a lot of people bought into it. It's a very convincing leak. And now a leak has come up with potentially the DLC characters. And I'll, again, potential spoiler warning. If you don't want to know, listen back at 3:35. I promise we'll be done this conversation by 3:35.
Or you mean 5:35.
Definitely 3:35. I could guarantee we'll be done this conversation at 3:35, but probably also 5:35. So if you don't want to hear anything about it then, but keep in mind, there have been leaks, and they were super-duper wrong. Okay, so we already know that Persona 5's Joker is going to be in Super Smash Bros.
Yes.
The next leak includes, here we go, Ryu Hayabusa from Ninja Gaiden.
Okay.
I know who that is.
Yep.
Erdrick from Dragon Quest.
Nope.
I probably know his face if I could see it. And then the two that are really going to throw you for a loop here.
Yep.
Doom Guy.
What?
From Doom. Not that I hate to say
what?
That. And I am very proud to say that we called it potentially, if this is correct, because this was in our prediction list, Steve from Minecraft.
Oh, wow.
And the report is that Steve will have a Master Chief skin.
Okay.
And there's another skin, but I'm not seeing it. But, I mean, Banjo-Kazooie didn't make it. A bunch of characters people thought didn't make it, but apparently Doom Guy, Steve, and Master Chief, to an extent, have made it.
Oh my goodness.
I knew you would love that, which is why I didn't want to tell you before we got on air. So, before we go, I think, or before we continue, I think Ryu Hayabusa, to my knowledge, I don't, when I think Ninja Gaiden, I think PlayStation, I don't necessarily think Nintendo.
Yeah.
They might have come up on one of the consoles. I'm not totally sure. That one's a little bit low left field, but sure, it's a ninja. I guess you got Greninja.
Yeah,
but
not?
It's different enough, I guess.
Yeah.
Erdrick, Dragon Quest. Yeah, that makes sense. I could see that totally. But these other two are just absolutely out of left field. I mean, Doom is on Switch.
Yeah.
So I can kind of get it, but I don't know if you played that much of PlayStation All-Stars. I did, but the Killzone guy just felt so weird to play with the other ones. And I remember watching a video on Sakurai saying he was having trouble getting Snake at Super Smash Bros. Because he didn't want to have traditional guns.
Yeah.
And that's why Snake has explosives.
Right.
Specifically to not use guns. There's no way you can get around using guns with Doom guy. And what's he going to do? Have a chainsaw? Like,
yeah.
I don't necessarily see how this is going to work. I'm interested, certainly. And then Steve, weirdly enough, makes sense. I could really believe,
yeah,
Steve.
Like, they brought in Wii Fit Trainer. Why not Steve?
Why not Steve? That's what we were saying like a while ago. I mean, this would confirm that Solaire isn't in the game, which is a darn shame,
yeah,
because Solaire was our big push. But yeah, just quick thoughts on the four revealed.
I mean, like, they all make sense, sort of. Doom guy is weird, but that's amazing. I feel like he's gonna play like Ganondorf. Like, just big, hulky, and punches you across the screen.
Super powerful guy, but also with guns.
Yeah. I feel like that'll probably be it. He'll probably be a cross between like Ganondorf and Fox.
Can you see Nintendo having someone pointing a shotgun at Mario? Or a shotgun at Pichu? What's the cutest character we could get? But you see what I mean?
Pichu, yeah.
It's a little strange. It's already strange when Snake does a choke slam on somebody.
Yeah.
But this, to me, like, I think it's hilarious. But I almost lean that it isn't true because I have such a hard time believing, yeah, how they would... But they get Piranha Plants in there, so what do I know?
Yeah. I now want to point a shotgun at Pichu. Just for the hilarious. That just boom.
I hope Peter doesn't take us down first for you saying that.
What's his finale going to be?
Send you to hell, I guess. I mean, Simon and Richter already kind of
did that.
Yeah, they do something similar where they trap you in a coffin and put them.
Yeah. Is he going to break out the BFG?
Can there be a BFG in a Nintendo? In a classic Nintendo game? Like, it bottles my mind, is how I'm going to describe that. I forget which movie that's from. It's mind-bottling. Like, your mind trapped in a bottle and you can't get out. It's Talladega Nights, baby. That's how I feel about that.
Actually, like, just quick side note. That sort of thing, like, just the mind-bottling sort of thing, I've run into a couple occasions of that, and I've been like, you know what? That is actually better than the actual thing.
Yeah.
Like, there was, it was one of the web comics I read, Justice League 8, which is Justice League characters as toddlers. Yeah. Power Girl doesn't know the word chivalrous. She pronounces it shiverless, as in you're brave, therefore you don't shiver.
Hmm.
So, and she has a couple few ones, like, because she has interactions with Batman, who, of course, knows all of these despite being 8 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
And so he's not making fun of her, but he's correcting her, and she's explaining to him, like, wow, that makes perfect sense.
Yep. I think I may have had this discussion with you either on air or off air, but I dated a girl who said, tops the cake instead of takes the cake.
Yeah.
She's like, well, that tops the cake. I'm like, what do you mean tops the cake? It's takes the cake. And she's like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you take a cake? You finish it off. It's the best thing. So it tops the cake. I'm like, you're wrong, but that's actually better.
Yeah,
like, exactly. That's way better. It makes so much more sense.
It's that Harley Quinn arrow interaction. That is actually better.
Right. You call it the quiver. That is actually better. I think it's from Injustice. What a good one.
Very good.
Okay, so we have a list here. I have a more or less, what's what I'm looking for? Not canonical. But you know what I mean. Temporal. It's done by when they're coming out.
Chronological.
I knew it was a C word. List of games coming out in 2019. The problem is at the bottom of the list are a whole bunch of games who are TBD. So we don't actually know the release dates. We just know they're coming out in 2019. But we're going to go through them anyway. So, if you want to go along with us, the website I'm just using is called Den of Geek here. They have a 31 and also a 35 one. I think the 31 is new games and it didn't chronologically. So, that's what we're going off of. Soon, like in 4 days, we have Super Mario's Deluxe U coming to the Switch. Another one, probably definitely the latest, if it's coming out, the Switch Wii U to Switch ports. Power to them. those have never been my cup of tea, but they're always very, very well-made games. And a lot of people who might have kids or just they like playing 2D stuff, go for it. They're probably going to enjoy that one, especially if they make it on sale. The Walking Dead, the final episode of the final season, is coming out on January 15th. My birthday, actually.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
So, yeah, if you've been following that Walking Dead Telltale Games saga, it's coming to a close on January 15th. They have a remake of Resident Evil 2 on January 25th.
Okay.
I think a lot of people would be excited about that. Resident Evil's look back fondly. But if you want to hear what people are going to be losing their minds about on January 25th, Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yep. That'll do it.
Now, you and I never played Kingdom Hearts. I really have no good reason for not doing it. Because
you're a Disney fanatic.
I am a Disney fanatic and I like RPGs. So I might jump in on Kingdom Hearts 3. I just never had the previous one. But this has been hotly anticipated. So yes. I think this is the big thing circled on a lot of people's lists coming out in 2019. The next on the list, February 5th, is called The Occupation. I'll read, for the games that I'm not totally sure about, I might read a little blurb here.
Okay.
Following a terrorist attack and a controversial government act, you have to choose whether to investigate or stay out of the way. Promises to make the occupation a unique and engaging experience. It's set in an alternate reality of 1987. Looks interesting.
Okay.
Kind of reminds me, it's first person. It kind of reminds me if an indie developer had made like Bioshock Infinite or something.
Okay.
We'll see. Crackdown 3 coming out February 15th. So that can be a nice Valentine's Day gift for a lot of people out there. Not necessarily me, but a lot of people. The Crackdown, like, you don't get more stupid fun than the Crackdown series. I enjoyed the first one, rented it. I enjoyed the second one. You bought it for me for my birthday one time. Probably enjoy the third one day in a bargain bin. It'll be a proud bargain bin purchase. Dead or Alive 6 is coming out on February 15th. If you don't know what Dead or Alive is, you can Google it. It's a fighting game.
Yep.
And you can make up your own mind.
And that's all we're going to say.
And that's all we're going to say about that. Far Cry New Dawn, an intriguing spinoff of the Far Cry series, is set in a post-apocalyptic world after Far Cry 5. You play as a new character whose gender and race are of your choice. The main plot takes place 17 years after the collapse that devastated the world, at a time when brave survivors are clashing with dastardly, that's a great word, highwaymen. You also get to find out what happened at the end of what happened to Far Cry 5's main character. So if you played Far Cry 5 and you thought, what happened next? Here you go.
Now you know.
Jump Force, this is a big one. This is the fighting game. It's also coming out on February 15th. What a big day. This is the huge game that features a ton of anime and manga characters. Like, it's a huge crossover game. I think it's going to be really exciting. It's got people from Dragon Ball, Yu-Gi-Oh!, Death Note, ton of different things. I probably won't buy it day one, but I'll be definitely watching that one. That'll be very interesting. Also on February 15th, Metro Exodus, another first-person shooter. On February 22nd, probably the next big one that I'll be following, not buying consciously, but following, Anthem.
Right. Yes.
From BioWare, Mass Effect developer Anthem. I can't see myself buying it, mostly, even if it's good, it's a conscious boycott.
Yeah.
Because I disliked Mass Effect Andromeda that much that I have to send a lesson to BioWare and, more importantly, EA. I ain't putting up with this. So unless you buy it, I can't see us playing it. Conscious choice. What do you think about that one? Because you were actually more interested than I was.
It looked really interesting. But you're right. And, I mean, kind of we did the reverse with the NHL series. Because after NHL 18, I was like, I'm not buying 19.
Mm-hmm.
And you went and bought it anyway.
Used.
Used.
Made sure EA didn't get any money.
But yeah. No, I don't know.
It would have to have reviews that absolutely blow everyone's socks off.
Yeah.
And I just don't get the feeling from that game. I've watched a couple of developer interviews. I don't know. It's the kind of thing where I love BioWare. I'm really hopeful for Dragon Age 4 whenever it comes out.
Yeah.
But I feel like they have to bottom out and learn their lesson, which is possible. Companies have learned it before. And especially right now with God of War and The Last of Us 2 coming out later this year, we'll get to that, and Spider-Man and you know, single-player games dominating the scene. I'm hoping that Casey Hudson, someone shakes him and says, we're good at one thing, let's just do it.
Do that thing. Yeah.
And this is not that. You're the best in the world at something. Keep doing it. Okay, we're going to keep moving. Toe Jam and Earl back in the groove.
What?
Coming out March 1st.
Okay.
No idea. Looks like a, what's what I'm looking for? Like a late night cartoon came to life.
Okay.
So, sure. Total War, Three Kingdoms. I know the Total War, coming out March 6th. I know the Total War series mostly because it is constantly in my Steam queue. But it looked like the type of game that I don't have to sit down. I even bought one for about an hour before I returned it because it was just the kind of thing where it's like, I might enjoy this,
yeah,
but only if I have hours upon hours to dedicate into learning it.
Right.
But I did definitely look twice at Three Kingdoms. I'm like, is that Fire Emblem?
Yeah. No.
Do you have any experience with the Total War series? I know it's a big one.
I do not. No, that was...
Big time RPS.
That one sort of slipped me by.
All right, March 8th, we got Devil May Cry 5 coming out. That's going to make a lot of people happy. Again, not necessarily something that we've played a ton of, but if that's what you're looking forward to. Unfortunate thing, when games are like $90, you got to pick and choose.
Yeah.
Tom Clancy's The Division 2 coming out March 15th. I'm going to move a little bit quicker now. The Sinking City coming out March 21st. You play as a private investigator named Charles who must unearth clues and avoid mass hysteria as New England succumbs to a humongous flood.
Now that sounds like BioShock.
As society sinks, you've got to keep your eyes peeled and work out why. It kind of does. Looks pretty cool. Might pick that one up. Here's the first big one for you. March 22nd, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice.
Woo!
Yeah. So you will be glued. Probably going to get that one day one and definitely going to be glued to Vati Vidge's YouTube channel immediately following the release.
Yeah.
Because he is the man.
Because From Software understands we're good at one thing. Let's keep doing the thing.
They get it. There's a few games, and we're going to get to the next one literally next. There's a few games and a few game companies where I vote with my wallet. Like, I've kind of come around more to that as I've gotten older.
Yeah.
Before it was like, I'll just play whatever I want. Now it's like, okay, I will take a step back.
And think about this.
If I need to teach someone a lesson. From Software, to me, they've hit, what, 5 almost home runs, basically, because I loved Dark Souls 2 and 3.
Yeah.
About as much as Dark Souls 1. Demon's Souls is probably my favorite. Haven't actually beat Bloodborne. Probably will now that we're at the house.
Need to do that.
Like Bloodborne. People adore Bloodborne.
That one took me 2 tries to get into.
There you go.
But I'm a magic caster.
Yeah.
You are not.
I'm so a turtle, Adam. So we'll see how that goes.
So you're also screwed.
Yes, I know.
Bloodborne basically is Dark Souls, but they took out the turtles and they took out the magic.
Yeah.
Is it, you have to play fast-paced or you're going to lose.
Neither of which look like they're going to be President Sekiro either.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they go with that. But From Software gets the loyalty purchase. Just about a month and 1 day later, Mortal Kombat 11 comes out. These guys get it. I loved Mortal Kombat. I loved both of them. This seems to be a fair company. They had some microtransactions in Injustice 2.
Yeah.
But it's a fighting game that has a long story mode.
Yeah.
And I just love the characters, and I've loved them for the past basically 25 years.
And they're ridiculous, but they're ridiculous in the way that professional wrestling is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, if you buy in, it's fine.
They get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not trying to be something that they're not because they know what they are, and they're just going to nail that, and I respect that, so I'm probably going to be picking that up. April 26th, Days Gone. I've heard a lot of people excited about this one. Hasn't really grabbed me, but it looks like another post-apocalyptic survival type game. That's okay. More zombies. Rage 2 coming out May 14th. Set in a Mad Max-like wasteland, so racing game. June 21st. Actually, separate releases here. May 21st, Team Sonic Racing. I don't know why Sonic would need to race in a car, but okay.
Why does Sonic need a car?
June 21st, our re-release, remake, whatever, of Crash Team Racing.
Okay.
Everything's getting a remake. Why not Crash? Sure.
Yeah,
and now we're into the TBAs. Those are all the ones that this list at least has listed. Pokemon RPG TBA, obviously a day one purchase. We've talked about that one to death. We'll keep moving. Yeah. Wolfenstein, Youngblood, also TBA. Doom Eternal, also TBA. There's probably a direct correlation between like I imagine the guy who remade Doom and Corey Barlog of God of War. When had coffee. Because, I mean, Doom is still very much about what it was in the past.
Yeah.
But it's incredible that Doom's way older than Mortal Kombat even, but it didn't reinvigorate itself as much. But it's pretty impressive that two things that a couple years ago, you might have said were left in the past, have come back and are now a couple of the biggest releases in back-to-back years. That's pretty impressive.
Well, and the Doom one, I would argue, even more than... Because God of War, like, they have... Kratos is there, but they went... They did something new with that one. That's not like Mortal Kombat where it's, here's the thing we're good at, we're going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
But the Doom one, that was... They understood.
Yeah.
Like, and the best... Like, and I knew 10 minutes in that they understood when they start telling you the story and the main character grabs the monitor and throws it away. And I was like, yes, you get me. Let's do this thing.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. They definitely have it. But, I mean, in an era of... I mean, these... It's, I think Ed Boon made the joke that, like, a whole bunch of BioShock Infinite, Doom Eternal, Mortal Kombat should be called, like, Mortal Kombat Endless or something.
Yeah.
I think he made that like a joke. That was pretty funny. But it Doom could have so easily been left in the past. And to bring it back and for it not to feel like the next game on this list is Gears 5.
Yeah.
I loved the Gears of War series back in the early days of the Xbox. And now I'm like, please go away.
Yeah.
Please.
You've done all you can do.
Please go away. And you could listen to one of our podcasts where I reviewed Gears of War 4. And it was basically the game ended too short. It was like two-thirds of a game and it cut out immediately before a big moment. And it was trying to have heart and was trying to have characters that aren't men who look like they're brick blank houses. And, you know, the guy, kind of guy who looks like a dump truck unloaded a bunch of bricks and cement and stuff like that. And then it put on pants and picked up a gun. And that's the character.
Yes.
That's what Gears of War was supposed to be.
True.
They're trying to do nuance. It's not working, at least for me. I'm kind of interested to see where this is going. But to be honest, they lost a lot of goodwill with the past one. Because it felt like a barely completed game.
Yeah.
And that it should have continued. It's kind of like, you know, Fable. Fable 2 made, or Fable 3 made too much of a game. It was like,
yes.
Oh, that was a complete game, and there's more! And this one was like, okay, final battle time. What do you mean credits? What's going on here?
Yeah.
What are you doing right now? Yeah, that alone, you might think that would make me want to do it. It doesn't. I wasn't interested. We'll see. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Star Wars game coming out.
Okay.
Makes me nervous. We'll see. The Last of Us Part 2. I think for a lot of people, maybe not necessarily you, this is going to be a day one buy. But most likely a single player game. Most likely a story-based game. Experience-driven. Probably no microtransactions. Maybe one DLC. Maybe two.
But what's the plot?
The last
one's ending was kind of...
I mean, it's 6 years after the last one. In fact, I can see that written here.
Are we playing as Ellie?
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
At the very least, you start as Ellie.
Yeah, that's fine.
For what it's listed here, you play as Ellie. Troy Baker's Joel is returning. We don't know in what capacity, but it's just going to be interesting. And again, if you're the type of person who votes with your wallet and you're voting in favor of single-player experiences... This is probably going to be something that you're going to be very interested in.
Yeah.
Marvel Ultimate Alliance, The Black Order. Do you think they announced that they were making this game immediately after they saw Infinity War and they were like, Black Order, let's make a game?
Maybe.
It's coming out exclusively to the Nintendo Switch. There's a weird one.
Yeah.
I think most people's memory of Marvel Ultimate Alliance is getting it free with an Xbox 360 or PS4. I've seen that game in so many bargain bins because it came free and everyone was like, I don't want this. I just want the thing. And
they
just the thing that they threw in. It'll be intriguing to see if they can grasp some sort of thing. But, I mean, Marvel's never been bigger.
Yeah.
So, and the Xbox 360 came out in 2006. So if you have an 8-year-old child, a 10-year-old child, someone who's born past that, they've grown up with the MCU and now you have the control time to control their favorite character on the Nintendo Switch. Makes a lot of sense. I am a little bit nervous that it's console exclusive because that probably means it sucks and they're trying to hide it on the Switch.
Yep.
A little bit nervous. World War Z, a sequel to the Brad Pitt film. Don't forget that it was a movie site or that it was a book first.
Yeah.
World War Z is coming out. I guess I should say World War Z, but whatever. And last but not least, the untitled Goose Game for the Switch.
What?
You could just look up a video. I think they brought it up at E3
or
in a direct. It's a Goose Game. So, that ate up a lot of time, and I didn't get many of your opinions. Which of those games really jumps out at you?
I mean, the Pokemon one, obviously.
Yeah.
And then
Let's take Pokemon off the table,
yeah.
Because it's almost unfair. We've devoted episodes, if not months of episodes, exclusively to Pokemon.
I mean, really, just Shadows Die Twice.
Like, not
the
Doom.
Rest. Well, okay. But, like, Doom is... That almost is in the Pokemon camp of, like, I really enjoyed the last one, so I'll probably get this one. But Shadows Die Twice is, that's a totally... I mean, it's going to be Dark Souls with jumping, but still, it's a new IP. So, that's the one that really interests me. Doom Eternal, in all likelihood. Although, honestly, Doom was another one where it was like, I had a blast when I was playing it, and then I went back to play it again, mm-hmm. and I got an hour in, and I was like, nah, I'm good.
Sometimes a game just captures a feeling.
Yeah.
And once you've had that feeling, it's tough to recapture. By the way, one that they didn't list that I'm going to is Fire Emblem Three Houses is announced.
Oh, yes, of course.
It'll be coming out in 2019.
Yeah, so that one would be good, too.
It's weird coming after such a big year. Like, we've talked extensively, I should say, about God of War and about Red Dead and about Spider-Man. But, like, even looking back, we knew 2018 was going to be a huge year for games.
Yeah.
And a lot of locks, you know? Like, I was very confident in Spider-Man. I guess God of War was kind of a surprise. But even at the end of the day, you could have predicted in January of 2018, you want three great games by the end of it. Spider-Man, Red Dead Redemption, Smash Bros.
Yeah.
You'll have those three great games. Almost guaranteed. I guess Spider-Man is a little bit less of a guarantee, but Insomniac has such a good track record. How do you not give them the benefit of the doubt? You know what I mean?
Well, because everyone else has screwed up a Spider-Man game for the last, like, 15 years.
Exactly, exactly. But, you know, like, you had three locks. Even in this one, I'm kind of nervous about the Pokemon RPG. I'm kind of nervous about Fire Emblem Warriors.
Yeah.
Doom Eternal, can they capture it twice? You know, yeah. I'm not the biggest fighting game fan. I'm more buying it for loyalty out of Ed Boon. There's a lot of stuff that I'm kind of on the fence at, if not a little nervous about it.
Yeah.
This year coming up.
And for the most part, like, I think this will be a good year for 2019 will be a good year for gaming, just not necessarily for me. Like, a bunch of the things you mentioned are big installments and big franchises that just, like, kind of passed us by for the most part.
Yeah. There's only so much time.
Yeah, exactly. There's almost so much time in the day, so we gotta you gotta pick and choose.
Kingdom Hearts, for example.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, that's just never been a thing that I've been into.
I mean, feel free to like us on Facebook, Game Over UMFM on Facebook, and send us a copy of Kingdom Hearts 3 if you really want us to play it. And if we get, like, a Christmas bonus or something like that, it comes very late, we'll see.
Yeah.
But with just only so much money and so much time, we have to kind of make choices. That's why I always, whenever I'm even in the vicinity of a GameStop or something like that, it's always... what's on sale? Because you never know.
Because you never know. Exactly. And that's like, I still have a bunch of stuff on my Steam wish list that I'm like waiting for 40% or better.
I heard a joke that, like, I buy Steam games the way some people buy clothes. It's like, I don't know if I'll ever play this, but I just want to have it to have it. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine a time when I would ever wear this shirt. But it's kind of neat, so sure, I'll buy it. That's kind of the way.
Just in case.
Yeah, like, I've seen, like, a troll tweet sometimes where it's like, hey, casual reminder to actually finish some of the games in your Steam account. I'm like, I feel personally attacked by that tweet. That is straight up rude.
Well, that's why I've been trying to finish Hand of Fate 2, and I only just bought it.
I suppose, yeah. I kind of want to test that out. I got to see I haven't booted up my gaming PC in
a while.
Boy, such a long time. And it's also not a good time to potentially get addicted to playing other games. Like, I've had, say it with me now, I've almost won an entire episode. I kind of want to replay The Witcher 3 again.
Oh, my God, not again.
Don't stop it. Okay, because this is technically the TV Talkers time. The closer we get to The Witcher TV series, I'm not sure which will make me want to play The Witcher 3 more. If the series is great or if it's terrible. Because if it's great, I'm going to get inspired and I'm going to want to live in that world more and I'm probably going to want to play the game. And if it's terrible, I'm going to want to play in a good world version of that, or good game version of that world. I don't know what, by the way, I forgot Horizon Zero Dawn even came out.
Oh, yeah.
Or no, it came out 2 years ago, I think. Whatever. But it's another single player game that you can vote with your wallet for. But yeah, man, there's just not enough. I even was playing at Fire Emblem Fates before I started Awakening. I got to a point, I missed a character, I'm like, Guess I'm playing Awakening.
Yeah, it's like, that's the end of that.
Just switch games. But I have trying to actually look for more news since I've been playing it for more news on Fire Emblem Three Houses, and there's really just nothing. It's just been, they released that one trailer, and even the Reddit page is pretty much dead.
Huh.
It was just like, hey, do you guys have any theories or speculations? Nope.
Nope.
Nothing going. Yeah, that's a dry well.
Huh.
Which is very sad. Well, we do have a couple minutes here. Yeah. So, that's totally okay. Is there a game that you're kind of hoping, like a sequel to a game or something being announced that you kind of want to come out of left field this year? Like, for example, Mortal Kombat 11 got announced like 2 weeks ago, and it's coming out in April.
Huh.
So, game companies are not totally opposed to popping a surprise for you.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, because for the most part, my next year has been totally devoted to being hyped up over Shadows Die Twice and the Pokemon.
And Pokemon?
One. And I mean, like, my normal answer to that would have been Dark Souls, but, like, we're basically getting that in Sekiro. So, no, I don't think there's anything that I'm like, oh, I wish, you know, I love this game, I wish there was more of it beyond, you know, I would take another God of War sequel.
Hmm. Well, I will. Actually, I just found a list here of a more exhaustive list of what's coming out. I don't know if you've seen the video for it, but Nintendo announced a Switch game called Fitness Boxing, which looks really strange. It's like, do kickboxing with your Switch, but sure, it's if you want to get fit. A couple of the ones that were missed here, we have Tales of Vesperia is getting a remake. That's coming out. Tales of Vesperia Definitive
Ooh.
Edition is coming out. Boy, there's just a whole bunch of stuff coming out in February. Jump Force, blah, blah, blah. We've talked about all this. Phoenix Wright is getting a new game. So if you're one of those people who was a diehard Phoenix Wright fan, power to you. Apparently there's a One Piece game coming out.
Huh.
Has One Piece been on anyone's radar?
Not for a while.
Hmm, interesting.
I've seen some of the anime.
Super Meat Boy's coming out. Team Sonic Racing, I already said, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we pretty much covered most of it, but...
Actually, you know what I want?
Interesting year.
I want Fallout 5. That's what I want. Because we don't talk about 76.
Bethesda's in real trouble.
Oh, my goodness.
Or just, what's the game called? Like Star or something?
Oh, yeah. The thing that's like, here, we're going to do that properly.
Are you going to be as salty about that game as I am about Anthem if it turns out that if it's so clear that's where all the budget went? Like, instead of Mass Effect. Well, I think that's going to make a lot of Fallout fans salty, especially considering what's happened with Fallout 76 over the past couple of months.
Yeah. I mean, I think it, like, it bothers me, I think, a little less than a lot of Fallout fans, because a lot of people liked Fallout 4, and I did not like Fallout 4. And so I'm at the point of, like, I already knew they were going to screw this up. They just made it even worse.
But it was certainly more divisive than 3 and New Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it was already, the trend was already on the way down.
Well, because they introduced a base building element in a game that's traditionally been about exploration.
Yeah.
And I'm going... You're missing the point.
Yeah.
And then they took out all the NPCs, and I went, oh, you're really missing the
point.
You
have no clue what the point ever was.
Yeah. Boy.
Alrighty. Well, on that note, we are going to be, as I said at the beginning of the show, we are actually going to be taking next week off. We're taking a little bit more of a hiatus. I know it's very tragic. You probably all want to listen to us, but we are taking next week off. And we're giving the TV Talkers a full hour. I've heard rumbling. I don't want to call them out. But the rumblings of the TV show that they're trying to talk about for a full hour next week rhymes with Propranos. Kind of a big one.
Yeah.
So there's rumblings. They have I just called them up, but they're not here to fight me, so whatever. but there's rumblings. That's what it's going to be. So if you want to hear that, stay tuned 5 to 6. Next week, we will be returning, hopefully with Matt, in 2 weeks' time. So in the meantime, stay gaming and have a good week.